kind of continue our lesson this morning, we talked about resolutions. Like I'd mentioned, I found the top four resolutions, or I put them in categories of four resolutions that are commonly used this time of year, right? So today is New Year's Eve day, and then tomorrow will be New Year's Day. And that's when a lot of people put resolutions together. However, I would like to think, why do we wait? Why do we wait till right now to work on resolutions? Why don't we just have our resolutions all the time? Why does it have to be this time of year? Yet again, our resolutions that we had talked about, that are the most common resolutions, are staying fit, healthy and losing weight, spend less, save more, enjoy life, spend more time with family. And I hope the verses that I gave this morning supported all of these resolutions, that gave thoughts with each of these resolutions. So again, with this thought, why wait? Why wait until December 31st and January 1st to have resolutions? It's not like there's something magical in between these 2 days. Then if you're Chinese, so between these 2 days, right? It's Chinese calendars in February. I don't know if anybody followed that. What I would normally like to joke with people is like, no, I've made resolutions, you know, but I'll start that diet in February, and so I'll follow the Chinese calendar. Because it really doesn't matter, you know, the time and the day that we make our resolutions. Because normally, we think about this, we've probably heard this a lot, that when we make our resolutions, they don't last very long. Right? You can see by this graph, it far outweighs the resolutions that didn't even last a month. 57.7% don't even last a month. And only what? 7% last for the entire year. Now, I also gave a sermon on habits about how to change habits and stuff, and especially when studying the Bible and doing things. But this needs to be a change to make this resolution. Right? If we want to lose weight, it's more of a diet change. That's a lifestyle change. But I don't know if anybody's ever defined what our resolution is. We just sung that song about resolve. It's kind of along the same line. So I really appreciate Cody for leading that. So a resolution is a firm decision to do or to not do something. It's a firm decision to do or not do something. Now just think of that while I put the graph up with that definition. A firm decision to do or not do something 57.7% of the time. So when we make our resolution, when we think about all of the verses that I read this morning regarding our New Year's resolutions, it's something to think about. Are we going to create a resolution that's only going to work for a month? Or all of those things that we talked about that were biblically supported are things that we're going to strive for because we're children of God? Now, a lot of people list reasons why their resolutions didn't work. So here at about February, you'll start seeing all these news articles about why people's resolutions didn't work. So I put together the most common reasons why people say that their resolutions do not work. Now, think of these reasons along with the passages that I had this morning. The number one reason of why people say that it did not work is because they went at it alone. Now, we read verses this morning that talked about being yoked with Jesus, with Him helping you through. We even read a whole bunch of passages about how we're to spend time with our families and loved ones. So we know that we have support to not go at this alone. We might set resolutions that are too lofty for us. I read a lot of passages when we were talking about spending funds and money, about not to do things foolishly and to do things wisely, setting these lofty resolutions, giving up too easy, time management, financial burden, goes back to the financial verses that I read, unrealistic resolutions, no plan. I'm going to do this, but nothing's planned. Just like all of those mansions I showed that are just unfinished. Unfinished. Like I'd mentioned, that's something that has interested me, looking at all of those massive homes that are just unfinished. There are many, many that are down in the South that were being built during the Civil War. And there are hundreds just shells. That of wealthy landowners back before the Civil War, and then they didn't have funds after the Civil War. They're just sitting there. Lack of honesty. Wrong perspective and not believing in yourself. So when we think of these, of why these resolutions didn't work, and these are the most common reasons, we have to think that we always need to be working for God to go along with our resolutions. So when we talk about always be working, let's look here in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yet again, this helps support those reasons why that didn't work. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Now, I put these two verses together up here because I was reading in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've been studying a lot in 1 John, where it talks a lot about antichrists, and making sure that we're following the word of truth. And I was thinking, in order to follow the word of truth and rightly divide it, you need a sword to rightly divide it. Well, then that's where Hebrews comes in, because it talks about the God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Something that we can use as this weapon. I was thinking too, Chuck Goodall had a pretty funny joke he mentioned a couple times regarding weapons in the Bible. I don't know if anybody's ever heard it before. It's pretty funny. The joke is there's a person robbing a house, and this lady stands up and screams because she sees this person robbing the house. And the only thing she could think of to yell out was Acts 2.38. And of course, Acts 2.38 says, you have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. That burglar froze and didn't move. Didn't move until the police came and arrested him. And the police came and said, well, why didn't you run? He was like, I was afraid she had an axe and 2.38s. I've always thought of that when I've read these verses. So, Colossians 4:2 continues earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in all and with its thanksgiving. So continue earnestly in prayer. When we talked about the things that are important for us to keep in mind whenever we're setting our resolutions, but not only setting our resolutions this time of year, all of the time working towards God, that we need to be vigilant in thanksgiving. Because we do not know when our time is to come. And Matthew 24:42-45 says, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that in the manner the master of the house had known about the thief would come, they'd probably yell out Acts 2:38, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So when we talk about our resolutions and things that we should work for towards God, that we don't know when this time is. Also in James in 4:13-15 mentions, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So just to kind of put these things in perspective, that we talk about all of these resolutions and things we want to do, and we talked about several verses that talk about how we should not worry about tomorrow because only God knows what tomorrow brings. And that our life is just a vapor, that it will end. And not to have this on a negative note, but it does make me think of when our life is just a vapor and we're talking about resolutions, what are people's regrets? Well, I started looking through the most common regrets. So it's interesting, I'll read through these regrets, that these regrets line a lot up to the resolutions that I had earlier. Number one is, I never pursued my dreams and aspirations. I worked too much and never made time for my family. I should have made more time for my friends. I should have said, I love you a lot more. I should have spoken my mind instead of holding back and resisting things. I should have been the bigger person and resolved my problems. I wish I had children. I should have saved more money for retirement. Not having the courage to live life truthfully. Happiness is a choice. I wish I knew that earlier. Isn't it interesting that these regrets are a lot like the resolutions that people set? There's a lot of these that could be put in the same categories of the four things that we put together. I do think it's interesting that nobody said anything about, I wish I was on a diet more often, or I wish I was... That one was left out of regrets. In order for us to prepare for this, I talked about the sword. But when we think about living a spiritual life, and we think about this, we've got to put on the armor of God. So let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may not be able to stand against the wills of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, whose all talking to the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we think about preparing ourselves with this armor of God. When we think about our resolutions and maybe regrets, that if we have the armor of God on, we should be able to withstand it and to face these things. So these things should be a lifelong goal. That's why we should make these things long goals when we follow the Word of God. Like I said, these are the four areas that we broke things down into. Staying fit, healthy, losing weight. Spend less and save more. Enjoy life. Spend more time with family. And when thinking about these, maybe regrets, and maybe these resolutions that we've put together, it often makes me think of the wisest man God said would ever be on this earth, other than Jesus. And I'd like just to read the end of Ecclesiastes. And there is a lot here. And I was just going to put this into sections and just read maybe the last part. But I really believe Ecclesiastes is Solomon looking at his life. And he's really, really, really thinking about his last days. And he's really looking back on what he did or maybe what he didn't do. And I've always thought the words of this entire last chapter, which is only like 14 verses, it really makes an impact. So let me just take a minute or two here and read Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, and the days when the keepers of those houses tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height, and of terrors in the way. When the almond trees blossom, and the grasshopper is a burden, and desire falls, a man goes to his internal home, and the mourners go out to the streets. Remember your creators before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shatters at the foundation, or the wheel broke at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Not me. That's what it says. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, again, not me, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes. He pondered and sought out, and all set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by the shepherd. And father, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I've really thought about these verses. They can really hit you hard, especially if you think about each individual part of this. I was going to break it down today, but it's quite a bit to break down into individual pieces about what I feel that he's saying in some of these parts. But really, he's telling us what we are to put our faith, hope, and trust in. There's only one thing. There's only one thing that he's saying for us to do here. Now, yet again, I believe that he wrote this maybe in his final days, that he was looking back at all of the things that he would have done, some of the things he followed God in, and some of the things he didn't. A lot of people consider this Solomon turning back to God here. But he does make a very key point. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. So in conclusion, our regrets and our resolutions equal repentance. To not let our regrets be what we didn't do for God. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. You know, when we talked about our promises, about whether we make a resolution, only kept 57% of the time, God does not do that. God is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So let's think of that this morning. That we know repentance is the first step that we need to do to become a Christian, to follow God, to turn from. Isn't it interesting that our resolutions normally are to turn from doing something or to start doing something? And the same with the regrets. And that's why I believe it's saying here in 2 Peter 3 and 9 that we should come to repentance. So if you would like to be a child of God this morning, to become baptized and follow His will, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.